John chapter 15 tonight. John chapter 15. My heart does go out to the folks tonight. There's many things going on tonight in our church, and thank you, church, for being there for each other. I didn't sing the songs that we sang tonight for anybody else. I needed those. My afternoon started. We walked into the first pod and to preach there, and we had done nothing more than just open the Bible and kind of said hi and greeted the inmates that were there, and basically was told that no matter what I said, there was no way they were going to believe and there was no way they were going to respond to anything I said. And that broke my heart, but not to tears, but broken nonetheless. And once you're broken, you can only break once. And that's how my afternoon started. And we preached, we continued doing what we ought to do, but that's nothing more discouraging than just walking through the door and somebody saying, "I'll listen, but don't think I want anything to do with what you're saying." It just took the wind out of my sails, and not that the Word of God still wasn't true, not that the message still wasn't powerful, or that the gospel wasn't given, but that hardness is something that when you look for a harvest and you're faced with that, it's awful hard to deal with, and all the other burdens that come in our life, folks, you can't bear them on your own. You can't. And if that's all it takes to get to somebody, imagine what everything compounded. What would the devil like to do? How deep would he like to bury you and me? You can't bear him alone. But it says, if I but ask him, he will deliver. And then it says, he all my cares and sorrows will share. We don't need to do that to him. He doesn't deserve that. And yet his shoulders are broad enough and his heart is big enough. His arms are strong enough and he carries those burdens just as well. And I'm thankful that he does. I want to speak to you tonight just what little I know of what God's blessed me with. I'm thankful that a year ago I was given some vines, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Dickinson, for doing that. I've learned a lot. I believe that just as Psalm 19 says, it says that there is a revelation in Scripture where the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and so on. But I also believe Psalm 19, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." There's a revelation of God in Scripture, and there's a revelation of God in nature. And God designed this world to point to Him. Everything from the odd duck-billed platypus in the land down under to the maple tree that sits in your front yard. I believe God wants to reveal Himself through those things. And the problem is we are too busy going to work, making money, and dealing with our cell phone service, and getting our internet turned on or off, and the cares of this life, and what God has made sits there and points to Him, and we ignore it, and we wonder why we don't have a richer and deeper relationship with God. I want to speak to you tonight, and if I could just share my heart as we begin. You see John 15, my text is not hard to spot. It's right at the beginning there. But I feel like I need to share with you a word about the season that we're in. You know, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he told the Christians in Thessalonica, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you." He says that and then goes in to tell them about the days preceding and leading up to the return of Christ. And he tells that church, he says, "I'm assuming you know the times and seasons." I read that and say, "God, I don't know. Show me, teach me. What are the times and seasons?" But it's not that hard to figure, folks. We live every year of our life, we live through seasons. And they're not hard to spot. They're regular. They're at set intervals every year. And I believe that God would have the church be very mindful of the times and seasons. This is something I shared with my family in our devotions on Thursday this week. And it's real to me, and I hope to make it real to you. This past week, just by no effort, by no I wasn't even trying, but God's led this church. There have been souls saved in this church in this past week. And can I just tell you that it's not because I adopted or anybody has adopted a new high-pressure style of winning somebody to Christ. It's not because we've changed anything. It's just because something has happened. Something is moving. There is a season upon us. And when the season is right, the souls are there. I believe that church, I believe God gave us a peach tree. I believe Bible Baptist Church is a peach tree. I really do. I don't believe it's an accident. I believe that we are a tree that needs to be tended, needs to be pruned, needs to be watched, needs to be cared for. And at a certain season, there are peaches. But within about 4 or 5 days from now, there will be no peaches. They will all be gone. In fact, as of right now, the tree is mostly bare, and what you see up there is it's just all over the ground, and what you see is a great and terrible waste. Can I just tell you that what's on the ground up there is at least what has been put out in the buckets and crates and totes? Why? We didn't pick them fast enough. There was a season upon us, and we attack it and we get after it as best we can, but inevitably some fall. And it's not for lack of fruit, and it's not for a mistake. It's the right season. We lacked reapers. We did. We just lacked reapers. We lacked the ability to take them in fast enough. Our church is a living organism that God wants to produce fruit through, reproduce Himself through. And you say, well, God can do that anytime. God can do anything. All right, I appreciate the sharing of that verse, but understand, he said, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. God keeps this church all through a winter season and protects it from freezing, from the ice breaking the branches off. And he protects it all through the springtime season and lets the flowers bud. And when what we see out there in this summer fruit is a result of the care, but also a supernatural thing. You understand that every peach out there represents a flower, one flower that bloomed, and that somehow, listen, just a flower blooming doesn't give you a peach. You realize that. Every one of those flowers had to be pollinated from some other peach tree. Did you do that? I certainly didn't do that. You know how much time that would take? You know how intensive that would be to pollinate every flower? Hundreds and hundreds of peaches out there. You know what that is? That is a work done by something God made that represents His Holy Spirit. The honeybee, sweet, produced something sweeter than honey, as the Bible. But it goes through and God works in people's hearts and lives in ways we can never imagine to pollinate something. And each one of those is an individual work of the Holy Spirit that makes a piece of fruit that at a certain season needs to be harvested. And you know how it's harvested? You know how when you can just about tell it's ready? You just touch it. All you have to do is touch it, and it just falls off. Church, you know why? You ever wonder why nobody is affected by your witness? Do you ever wonder why you don't see souls saved? How can you reach a world you never touch? You say, well, I don't know how. You don't have to know anything. You just have to touch. You can say you can say you care. You can say you're concerned about souls, but when have you ever touched a soul? You say, what is that? What does that look like? It looks like caring for them. It just looks like Christ sitting and eating with publicans and sinners. It just looks like showing the love of Christ, not just talking about it. And we just touch and they fall. There's a harvest, is what I'm trying to tell you. And when it's harvest season, it's soon gone. We're in a season of reaping. It's not going to last long. It is unusual for one soul to be saved, but for four souls in a week's time, from different people, different circumstances, I don't believe that's an accident. And if I know the Holy Spirit, if I can sense His leading through this book, I don't believe he made our seasons any different from the seasons that he would move in. It's time to reap, church. It's time to touch a soul. There's somebody that you've been concerned about that you're just hoping something will happen. You are the something that needs to happen. God's work has been done. The season is here. You say, what'll I do? Take a track, the track of the month, and just say, look, I haven't given you one of these in a while, but I'm concerned about your soul. Say something. Touch, do something. Really, you don't have to be a professional to be a reaper. You know, all you have to do is just go up and shake branches, and the ripe ones will fall. You know what we're too busy doing? Somebody didn't get the attention at church they wanted. Pastor didn't have enough time for you. You didn't get invited somewhere. Somebody didn't return your call or text, or, well, they seemed short when they texted me back, or they didn't put an exclamation point at the end of that reply. And all the while, the peaches are falling and just rotting on the ground. And souls are dying, and right now is the harvest time. Galatians chapter 6, he says this along the seasons. Listen to it very carefully. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Do you hear that? We put together so many things in verses, but we miss some of the biggest obvious things. When God says it's time to reap, it's time to reap. When Brother Joel was telling me, Joel Hegley was telling me about his the different crops they have, and they try to rotate when things come in, but when they come in, when it's ready, you can't, there's nothing else you can do. You have to get out there and get it. One day makes the difference between the crows just picking them clean and actually having a harvest. One day. And when it happens, and I went out with him once to get some sweet corn, and we had some buckets there, and I said, what do you want me to do? You want me to reap? He said, no, I want you to handle buckets. And all I did was handle buckets. And one reaper kept the buckets flowing between me and three kids I had with me. And I couldn't keep up with him. Why? It was the season. You know what happens, church, as the peach tree ages? It bears so much fruit that it can wear out the tree. Broke some of the branches up there. You say, well, that's just what happens. And you know what we need to do? We need to understand that what God wants to do is going to require some extra support. Maybe you're not a reaper, but can you be some support? Don't let the branch fall and break under when you could be there to support it on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday morning, at a visitation program, at a morning prayer, because in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We hit the snooze button one too many times, and we miss the harvest. We work a little bit later, a couple days, just because, you know, what else is there to do? But did you notice, church, we were so bogged down with heat. It was hot during our day camp week. You remember that? I know some of you remember it very well. It's very hot. It was summer. We felt summer. But just a few days ago, went to bed, we woke up that next morning and said, it's changed. You could feel it. The humidity was gone. The air had changed. The clouds had changed shape. The wind had shifted just slightly, but ever so slightly. Church, it's changing. The season is passing. The summer is ending. There's a harvest. Jesus says in this passage, I am the vine. I am the vine. I wanted to just speak to you for a moment on harvest, because in order for there to be a harvest, you understand, something produces the harvest. Christ is the source of the harvest. He is the vine. There isn't any fruit outside of him. Nothing that grows on that peach tree, like I said, happened by your effort or mine. There was a small honeybee that flew around there and nobody cared about, and everybody squashed him when he got on their window and stepped on him when he was in their way, and nobody cared. And I'm not saying save the honeybees, but you know, I'm very thankful. They worked hard. You know what I'm saying, church, is that God's Holy Spirit has already went out. He's done a tremendous work. He is the one that does the work. He's the one that bears the fruit. Christ says, I am the vine. Then he makes this statement, ye are the branches. If you look at verse 5, is where he makes that statement, I am the vine, ye are the branches. When you understand that, you will be ready to bear fruit. Let's talk about it for just a moment. Father, as we begin tonight, this is not a shouting sermon. This is not at the end of a spear point, Lord, that I'm trying to bring home such a sharp point. But God, please, if your Holy Spirit can't use these words, Lord, I have nothing else that I can do. God, I thank you, Lord, for this book, and I thank you, Father, for your world. The Word and the world, God, this nature that you made, they're not at odds, Lord. But God, I can see you through the lens of Scripture as I see you in what you've made, God. And I don't know much, Lord, I know very little. But Lord, I pray that what I know of you, you'd bring out tonight. And may it help us, Lord, to bring forth much fruit, much fruit. When Jesus says, "I am the vine," this is the last of seven times that he says, "I am." It is the great statements of Jesus Christ identifying him as God. And although the Pharisees, many of them missed it, although many of the people just didn't understand it, they weren't familiar with their own history, of all the things that he says, he ends, this is the seventh statement he makes, and he says, "I am the vine." He could have picked any other plant, he could have picked any other thing that he made to say what he is, but he picks a vine. You know, Christ, if we want to describe his strength, he's stronger than an oak tree. If we want to describe the sweetness of his fruit, why he's sweeter than a peach tree. If we wanted to describe his majesty, we'd say he's taller than a redwood tree. But yet when God chooses a plant to describe himself, he says, "I'm the vine." None of you have ever built an addition to your house with wood from a vine. You will never floor your house with wood shaped from a vine. You will never find ladders or anything structural made from a vine. It's a tree. It's wood. But it was never made to support itself. It is a plant of all plants that God made, and it was designed, and not as other plants. Many other plants they grow, and I believe cursed by Adam's fall. They grow and they live off of other things, and they suck the life out of other things. And the vine doesn't do that. But the vine does look for something to grow on. Something to grow on. It's one of those things that almost requires human assistance for it to properly thrive. It's almost as if God made it for us to teach us about himself. Very unusual type of plant. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And then he introduces the idea of a branch. The idea of a branch. Now, I've heard this many different ways, and I'm not saying that my way is going to be right and other ways are wrong, but understand that when he introduces the branch, it's not, I understand how trees work and that the sap has to flow through a tree out to the branch, and so that the vine and the branch can be the same thing. And I know that spiritually, you and I are part of Christ. We're one with him. But when he's speaking to these disciples, he's not revealing the mystery of the church. He's not revealing the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's using a picture that they understand to show them how what he does and what we do not only are different, but must work together. First of all, he is the vine. He is who bears the fruit. You read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Lots of people, and I'm telling you, lots of people, there's lots of programs out there that will just kill the fruit of the Spirit because they tell you all the things you have to do to have the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is not something you produce. It's something that he does. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Your job is to get in touch with the Spirit, and then he produces the fruit. There are things that the Lord does that you cannot do. He says, "If any man abide in me," and let's just read it from verse 2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Did you hear that? You say, well, I'm reading the rest of the verse. Listen to me, though. Christ knew what he was saying, and he didn't say it for no reason. He didn't expect us to just run off of this statement onto the next one. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And then he says, no more can ye. There is a difference between what Christ has for the Christian to do and what he himself will do. And then he says this, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Two different roles. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How can we be ready to bear fruit? Listen, we talked about the harvest. It's plenteous. The laborers are few. The season is ending. How can you be ready to bear fruit? Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. Can I just describe to you what little that I've learned from a vine? What does the vine need the branch to do? And we're going to look at these in reverse order. If I could just bring up the last thing I believe first, and that is this. The vine needs the branch to have character. Get character. That vine needs when it's planted, when you first plant it, there's not much there. It's just a sprig, but then it starts to grow. And as it starts to grow, it's not strong enough to hold up its own weight. I have a small piece of a vine here and that I cut off, and you could hear it screaming as I cut off its two arms. You know, it's a terrible thing. No, you know what will happen is this will grow back and you won't even know that I cut it off. That's a sermon for a different time, but a couple of branches here. And this vine, it's not able to even to support its own weight. It just reaches out and then it drops. And when I set up my vine, I dug a hole and I planted a fence post in there, a railroad tie actually. And I planted that thing there, intending after a while to build onto that and to stretch out a trellis there, to stretch out an arbor for that vine to grow on. That vine can bear the fruit, but it needs a branch to have some character, some integrity, to stand there. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know why we don't bear fruit? You know what keeps you from bearing fruit? You say, well, I'm working hard to bear fruit. You can't work hard enough. You are not the vine. But you know what you need to do? Stand. Stand. Be in your place when you're supposed to be there. Not be shaken and driven about with every wind of doctrine. You know, if I had put up a plastic pennant there and was waving back and forth in the wind, the vine wouldn't have found an adequate trellis to grow on. It's not stable. It's too floppy. It's not going to work. You know what would keep you and I from bearing fruit is if we're just given to change. Solomon warned of that. He says, don't envy those, my son, that are given to change. Why? Vine can't grow on them. Not where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. No character. Listen, what can upset our day, what can undo us is something doesn't go right at work. We have no character. And you know what we do? We move, and the vine suffers. You say, well, I suffer. No, the vine suffers. I want you to understand what God wants to do just depends on you having the character to be what you ought to be at all times. Why? Because there's a season of fruit that requires the vine to have a holding place. And without character, he has no place to hold on to. Jesus, in the Old Testament, was prophesied as the branch. I don't know if you knew that or not. If you look in your Old Testament, you'll find in Isaiah 1 and Zechariah, I believe, a couple times, and Jeremiah once, you'll find, behold my servant the branch. And it's all capital letters there. It's a wonderful thing. You know, he called Jesus the branch. And that's no mistake. Jesus here says, I am the vine. You say, well, what changed? What's the difference? I'm confused. Well, see, Jesus was prophesied as the first human instrument that could bear up and fully display the work of God. Man had fallen all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God said, I need a man of my own choosing. I need a man to stand. And so he raised up Jesus. You say he was God, but he was man. And so he raised up a man. He said, stand, show them how it's done. And so Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but what the Father bids me, that I do. You know what he was? He was a branch. But here he's fixing to give his life, and he says, I'm going to cease to be the branch, and I will become the vine. Now I need you to stand. Ephesians, he says, stand therefore. Stand, and having done all, to stand. What does that trellis have to do? What does that arbor have to do? It just has to be there. It just has to be available. It just has to be empty. It can't be occupied with other things. It's not made to be painted or decorated or shown off. Its character, its primary mission is to bear the vine, and that's it. Can you do that? The second thing is this. The vine needs to be concealed. It needs to get concealed. You see this vine here, these leaves here, and I love these leaves. They react different. There's so many plants in the garden, if you've ever run water over them, they have like a waxy coating, and the water just falls right off of them. You put water on a grapevine, and it just absorbs into it. It just gets soft. You tear one of these leaves, it's an amazing thing, what things that God made. There's lots about it, but these leaves grow big, and even now, before the vines are yet 2 years old, that vine's grown up, and you can't even see what I put there to hang it on. You see, Jesus Christ was crucified. How? He was hung on a tree. Not a living tree, but two dead pieces of wood. They hung the vine on a piece of wood. That was no accident. Jesus said this. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Sometimes we magnify the cross more than we magnify the Savior who once was there. The cross is just two dead pieces of wood. The vine hung on the cross. And the vine is living now, looking for another. We sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone? No, there's a cross for everyone. You are to be that cross that gets concealed. Your surrender, your humility to Christ is what allows him to hang there and to be the salvation for many. If two dead pieces of wood could lift him up and save the world, what could God do with you as a living branch, as a branch in the vine? What could God do with you if you'd be willing to be concealed? See, here's the problem. Once the vine conceals the arbor, it's all about the vine. Nobody talks about the branch anymore. And when things get hard for the arbor, when things get hard for the trellis, nobody cares about it me anymore. Nobody sympathizes with me. Nobody asks me how I'm doing. And you see, God's allowing us, is it worth me for them not to care about you? Is it worth Christ for somebody to only see Christ? Didn't Pastor Reed, I believe it was maybe even last Sunday night, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You say, what in the world is that? All they could see was a vine. All he could see was a vine. But he was hanging on a branch that just decided to be concealed. Just decided to say, my life is not worth eclipsing Jesus Christ. My life is worth surrendering and letting go so that he can bring forth much fruit. We've got to have some humility. You don't bear fruit. You don't see souls saved. You say, nobody responds when I give them the gospel. It's the season. I promise you. You go out and touch somebody. There's somebody there. There's somebody waiting. There's somebody that needs to get saved, and this is the season. Call me crazy. I don't have a chapter and verse for it. But of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write unto you. But the reason you don't see that is because you have chosen to put yourself out there, and you've chosen to be bigger than the vine. You've chosen to make your life more important than the vine. You've chosen to let your decisions overrule what the vine would have in your life. The vine wants to grow over you. And you say, no, I want to see. I want to be. I want to have. God says, no, let me see. Let me be. Let me have. We say, I don't like that person. That's not, they don't agree with me. And the vine says, it's not about you, it's about me. Would you let me speak to them? And we say, no, not until they've made things right with me. And nobody cares about the trellis. Nobody cares about the arbor when it's time for a harvest. They're looking for the grapes, they're looking for the fruit, and the vine bears the fruit. And when you're too big for the vine, you just have said, I do not want the fruit in my life because I have chosen to be what I want everybody to see. And Christ said, lift me up. Lift me up. Hold me up. You say, couldn't God hold himself up? Sure. He chose not to. Listen to me. Are we learning Corinthians? The weakness of God is stronger than men. And God, Christ says, I'm a vine. And it grows out and it just lays there. That's Christ? That is the Son of God? That's the working of God Almighty? It just grows out and what's he looking for? He's reaching out. The last thing is this, and probably the most important is this. What is the vine looking for in the branch? It's simply for something, someone, close enough to reach. Close enough to reach. This vine is an amazing thing. It's wrapped around itself right here, and you feel these, and as these little shoots, these tender shoots come out, they're so soft and they're so tender you could just break them off with your finger. They're just nothing to them. But these shoots reach out, these tendrils reach out, and they grab onto something. And it's amazing to watch. They grab onto it and they just And once it gets a grip, it gets thicker and stronger and harder until it just becomes part of the branch. When Christ reaches out, folks, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. So tender, so gentle, and he says, let me have a hold in your life. Let me touch, let me grab hold. Is there something I can hold on to? Will you lift me up? Are you stable? Do you have the character? Can I just hold on to you? It reaches out. If there's nothing there, it just falls. But if there's something there, if there's anything there, I mean anything. I mean, I leaned a shovel up against the arbor, and that vine reached out and grabbed that shovel. Within 2 days, reached out and just wrapped right around it. You say, it's an old shovel? Praise God, even an old shovel. Now, the old shovel wasn't what it needed. It needs an arbor. God can use anybody. He's reaching out for you. He's reaching out for you. You say, what do I have to do? What do I have to know? Do I have to know the Romans Road? Do I have to be able to preach a sermon like Pastor? Do I have to... How's my prayer life have to be? What do I have to do? Do I have to be... You just have to be there. Just be there. Be willing to say, God, I'm available. Be willing to be steadfast and unmovable, to have character. Be willing to say, God, I'm willing to take second place to the will of the vine. Be willing to just be near enough. You're here on a Sunday night. You're near enough for him to touch. You're near enough for him to touch. And maybe you felt it on a Sunday night before. Maybe you felt it in this church before. Maybe you felt it in your private devotions before, where God just says, I just be still and know that I'm God. Let me have you. Let me hold you. That vine enfolds that trellis is just as like a giant embrace, and it conceals it and it holds. And you say, well, I've got to hold it up. I feel like I'm doing all the work here until the day comes when the fruit comes out and the fruit is born and you realize, I didn't do anything. I was just there at the right time. And look what God did. And you were just there. You were available. This doesn't last forever. And this talk may be more sentimental than it needs to be. I don't feel like it's too deep of a thought. But Christ says, abide in me, and I in you. James says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Ever since I planted those three posts there for my arbor to be on, the vine has done the rest. I didn't have to point it to those things. I didn't have to move the arbor to make sure it was in the right place. The vine found it and embraced it. God is looking to reach out and embrace your life. I think some of us, many of us, are just fearful at what God might do. What would my life look like if God was first? People wouldn't even recognize me anymore. What if I talked to that person? What if instead of holding that grudge? What if instead of being that smart aleck at work? What if instead of being me, I was him? I've been telling the kids about the gospel of Jesus and the book of Acts, and what would it be like if instead of being us, we could just be him? And that's what he wanted them to do. Peter says, what do I do, Lord? He said, follow me. And they said, what do we tell him? Tell him about me. He says, there's a lame man there. I don't have any money. God, what do I do? And church, that lame man, when Peter walked up to him, he said, silver and gold have I none. And church, where we're at today is we can only say silver and gold is all I have. And we can't even offer him Christ because we're too busy being us. And the way we solve problems is by pulling out our wallet. It's by referring to somebody else. It's because we are not showing off Christ. And Peter said, I'm just going to give you Jesus. And I don't even know what that looks like. For that man, he jumped up and walked. And because of that, in Acts, you have Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 5. And you say, what happened? Everything happened. Why? Because he said, I just am going to give you Jesus. That's all I've got. That's all I am. Identify and be one with Jesus Christ. Our stand, our servitude. But get close. This is your salvation. If you're not saved, the vine can't reach you. You're not available. If you're not saved, He wants to save you first, and he wants to draw you close. And Christian, after we get saved, it's often that we get so far away. We shouldn't get so far away. When we were lost, the Bible says, ye who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians. When we were lost, listen to me, ye who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we're saved. Why would God have to continue to draw us? Why would God have to continue to reel us in and say, well, come back? Why would we leave the one who saved us? Why would we get so far away? Can I just tell you that the vine has no strength to pull anything to itself? Christ doesn't exert his power to pull anything back to himself. He says this, you draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. The tenderest of touches. But what for? Why? 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 Because when there's a harvest, when there's fruit expected, when there's fruit desired, without the vine, you'll say, I worked hard, I labored, I was there, I put out, I gave to missions, I did all the stuff they told me to do. I sang as loud as I could, and I don't have anything to show for it. You were too big for the vine. You didn't have any character to just stay put and just to let Christ work in you. You weren't close enough for him to grab onto. And when the harvest comes, you're frustrated. You don't know why. You blame somebody else, and the church starts to fight. The branches split with no fruit on them. It's one thing to split when there's fruit on it, but the branch, I've seen so many of them just wither up and dry up and break off. Why? No fruit. Nobody understands why. It's his fault. It's their fault. It's the program. It's this and that. We just have to abide in the vine. You say, well, for how long? You wouldn't plant a vine and expect that fall to have grapes. That's an unreasonable expectation. Yet we come to church and we say, well, that didn't make me feel any better. I read my Bible through once, and I've forgotten half of it. You know, I tried that prayer life thing. I tried that Wednesday night, but you know, praying by myself in the pew, that's just awkward. Can we give God at least as much grace? Can you understand Him at least as much as He's given us in nature to understand Him by? Abide in me. Abide. The Lord reminded me of a couple verses, and we'll look, if you would turn with me to Amos chapter 8. Oh, because there is a harvest that I believe now is the reaping time. It won't be long. It won't be long before the leaves turn. And you say, well, that's just the course of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. Would God ever use the seasons? Has the seasons ever been used by God to teach somebody the urgency of the hour? Amos was a farmer. He was a harvester of sycamore fruit. I don't care if no sycamore tree you've ever seen has fruit. His did. Amos chapter 8. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Sometimes God's revelation is not any deeper than that. Because then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people. The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. You say, why? Was God cursing Israel? No, understand. He had a basket of summer fruit. And it was all over. He'd picked the tree clean. And Amos said, why aren't you going back for more, Lord? It's over. That's why. The season is done. There's no more fruit to be picked. There's no more fruit to be had. What was available was claimed. What was harvested was saved. And the rest? Fallen to the ground. Turn over a few pages, if you would, to Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Church, we do soul winning and outreaches through the summertime, and this is not the only time you can go on outreaches, but that last day, that Labor Day, as Labor Day comes and goes and the weather has changed and it's so nice to be outside and it's so pleasant in the fall time and it's so nostalgic, the leaves change and, you know, the pumpkins come out and the squash is in and it's just a wonderful time. But there's a reality in that, that as you look across Byesville, as you scan your street in Cambridge, as you look over the hills and you see the rooftops there and houses of people that you've never met before, and they just go from green to golden to brown, and they're gone. And a tragedy in every household, and somebody's gone. And you scan the papers, and you don't have to be older than I am to scan through the obituaries and see 70s, 80s, 90s, 30s. Tens, they're gone, one after another, and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth if they don't know Christ. And you say, what is that? It's a harvest, and they're there. There's a tragedy in every home. You say, I have a tragedy in my life. And we need attention, and we need help, and I understand that. But isn't it about time we realized everybody's got a tragedy? Every heart is broken. The vine has a job to do. And he's looking if there's fruit to be had, fruit to be born. If we can just pull ourselves away from the forefront and get concealed, we too could harvest some of that fruit Micah 7, verse 1, and we'll close tonight. Woe is me. Oh, church, I don't know if you realize what kind of a strange thing it is to be a father, a shepherd of people, to be an overseer. I suppose very few do. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Oh, if only I was ready when it was ripe. The vine bears the fruit. Christ is already working in people's hearts and lives. There are things happening you have no idea about. Somebody is waiting to be touched. The vine is ready to bring forth fruit that's just going to fall off in your hand. We need to be ready to bear that fruit, to get character, to get concealed, and to get close so that He can take hold on us. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father,